Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. You with Abdullah Shaheed, your host of Optimal Health, and your certified symptometry health coach. Welcome to another episode of Optimal Health. It is our aim and objective every week on AM360 to enlighten health conscious individuals on root cause therapeutics and provide them with guidance on general wellness and cell nourishment. Brother and sister, planet Earth is well known in symptometry as an echo chamber of illusions and a testing ground with booger traps everywhere. We ask people to come and join us each week to learn about these booger traps that cause health to be denied, that cause health to be denied. Brother and sister, welcome to Optimal Health. It is our aim and objective. It is our purpose to share information about health that you probably have never heard before. For example, that all diseases are curable. It's up to the person that has the disease That person will determine whether their disease will be cured or incurable, the person that has it. Health and disease, another fact that we share, starts in the person's mind first. Health and disease starts in the person's mind. If the person's mind agrees with what the cells need and give it to them, the cells will reward the person with good health. This is what health is. Health is a reward, brother and sister. It's a reward. That means we have to do something to earn it. If we don't do something to earn it, health will be denied. Health is a reward. And this reward, brothers and sisters, is coming from our cells. Our body is composed of 75 to 100 trillion cells, over 200 cells type. Therefore, if anyone speaks to you about health and they do not mention the cells and they do not mention the DNA, the chromosome, and they do not mention RNAs, and they fail to mention blood impurities that must be removed from the person's blood, do not talk to that person. That person does not have enough information to share with you to restore your health. Brothers and sisters, we each have a body, a physical body. This deals with physical health. And we are responsible for this body. If we fail to take care of it, whose fault is it if we become sick? If we become compromised? Can we blame the Almighty? Can we blame God for our sickness? No, we can't. Because he has placed everything within our body to mitigate every disease and every symptom. Matter of fact, the symptoms are coded. It's a coded language that warns us every time we make a mistake. When we break the laws of physics, it will give us a sign called symptom. When we break the rules of health, for example, the iron rule, the pH rule, the speed law, the natural laws, the sulfur law, when we're in violation of these rules and law, our cell will give us a sign called symptom. If we fail to correct our mistakes, the symptom will turn into a disease. And if we fail to do what's necessary, the disease will become more and more chronic. The farther we get away from normalcy, the more chronic the disease will become until our life is at stake, brother and sister. This is why every disease must be cured. It must be put back to normalcy. That's what a cure is. Putting things back to normalcy. And we're not supposed to have a disease. We only have a disease because we made a mistake and we're in violation of the health rules, the natural laws, the other rules and laws that govern our body, our anatomy, our physiology. And no one taught us these rules and laws and brought them to our attention. Health is normalcy, brothers and sisters, and a disease is abnormalcy, meaning it's not normal for us to have a disease, which means we're not supposed to have one. We only have a disease because we made a mistake. And if we continue to make mistakes and fail to correct our mistakes, and we will, as we age, we will have more and more diseases. The purpose of life, one of the purposes of life, brother and sister, is to correct our mistakes and our parent mistakes and those people that came before us. If we continue to make the same mistake that they made, we will have their diseases. They're not genetic diseases. We really didn't inherit their mistake. We just failed to correct them. This is what health is all about. Here's the definition to optimal health. In our program, we call optimal health. Now, what is optimal health? Optimal health is the natural ability of all of the body parts to resist diseases by making the body resistant to microbes and parasites, as well as toxic metals, radiation, poison, toxic alkaloid, and acids. This requires mastering the rules of health. There's rules to health, brothers and sisters. When we violate them, we'll get a disease. For example, the iron rule, the speed law, the weakness law, the pH rule, and the natural law. These are the items that we'll be discussing on Optimal Health and that we've been discussing from day one. Therefore, optimal health must be earned. It is not inherited. We don't inherit health from our parents. Each individual must work hard and diligently to gain optimal health. If you fail to work at it, health will be denied. So we ask people every week, brother and sister, to come join us on this journey of optimal health. So again, you're with your certified symptomatology health coach, your host, Abdul Shaheed. And this is Optima Health. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and engage in our topic. And the topic of discussion today is going to be the effects of potatoes and tomatoes on epilepsy. Here's a correlation again with the food the person eats and their disease. A correlation between the food that the person eats and their disease. There's always a correlation between the food the person eats and their disease, brother and sister. That's going to be our main topic for the day, as well as sharing some other very important information. So please do not go anywhere at all. You're with Abdul Shaheed. And please take a moment to make contact with someone and invite them to join us on Optima Health, a friend, a relative, an associate, someone you know that can benefit from the information that we'll be sharing. Brother and sister, we're responsible for our health. The doctor is not responsible. He has a body just like the rest of us. And he's responsible for taking care of it. He can help us, but he can't do it for us. So that means we have to learn some things. We have to become smarter. We must become earth smart and health smart. Again, that's another purpose of this program, to help us to become earth smart and health smart. So please stand by, call someone, ask them to join us, and we'll be right back. You're with Abdul Shaheed, your host of Optimal Health.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Zabrita Hadi, Director of the MCNRD Model Community National Resource Directory, reminding volunteers of our upcoming MCNRD Social Connect Conference every last Sunday of the month, 1 o'clock p.m. to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We look forward to your participation, so please check your email for conference call information. Thank you so kindly. Assalamu alaikum.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of El-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
Welcome back, brother and sister. You're with Abdul Shaheed, your host of Optima Health, and also your certified symptometry health coach. And we'll continue. Brother and sister, we have this body of ours, and we're responsible for taking care of it. If we fail to take care of it and learn really what health is all about, then health would be denied. And our responsibility to take care of this body would fail. If our body is healthy, brothers and sisters, that means our cells that make up the body, if they're healthy, we will be healthy. If the cells are sick and congested and they have lost their initiative to carry out their function, they would not be in a position to keep us healthy nor to restore our health. Now, we said earlier, and oftentimes, that our body is composed of 75 to 100 trillion cells, and they are responsible for our health. There are over 200 different cell types, all kinds of cells. Everything that make up our body are made up of cells. And these cells have different organelles, cellular organelles, different parts. And all of the parts work together. Just like all of the organs work together. All of the systems work together. Because we are interdependent, integrated, interrelated, and interconnected. And our body operates as one biological unit. Our mind works with our brain. All of these things are very important for us to realize and for us to know. If we don't pay attention to what our cells are telling us, then we will not be in a position to give them the help that they need. It is because we live on planet Earth and we eat food that we have diseases. We drink water that we have diseases. We breathe the air that we have diseases. Because there are pollutants in all of these things. The food that we eat not only supplies the nutrients and resources to our cells, but they also have microbes and poison and toxic alkaloids. And some of the plants have diseases, and some of the animals have diseases. Eat them, not knowing what to do to protect ourselves, to protect our DNA. Plants are well known for protecting their DNA, but humans have been failing in protecting their DNA. Plants have evolved to the point where they produce poison to protect their DNA. And what are we doing to protect our DNA, humans? If we don't keep learning, then we'll fail continue to fail to protect our DNA, and we will have more and more chronic diseases as we age. That's what happens, brothers and sisters. So going to a doctor, a physician, who uses pharmaceutical drugs to treat symptoms of the disease would never make a chaotic eater healthy. Why is that? It is because the physician never removed the source of the disease from the person. What would be the source of the disease? Sludge, concretion, grime, calculi, stone, gravel, sand, marble, toxic from microbes, toxic metal from the air, from the water, from the food we eat. These are the sources of diseases, and they're everywhere. I mean everywhere. Planet Earth is very toxic. I'm sharing all this information with us because we need to know where the booger traps are. They're everywhere. We need to know how to protect ourselves and our DNA and our cells and our blood. Otherwise, we're going to have more and more diseases as we age. Oxidative stress will speed up as we age, brothers and sisters, causing us to produce more diseases if we don't learn what we have to do to protect ourselves. Planet Earth is very toxic, and it's predatory, and it's adversary. We must have knowledge to defend ourselves and to protect ourselves, to take knowledge, great knowledge. And no one had really been teaching us. But now we have a school called the American School of Symptometry, teaching us and empowering us to be a lot more aware than we've been. So we began to pay attention to what our cells are warning us about. They will always warn us, brothers and sisters. They give us signs when things are not going correct. We make a mistake. We ate the wrong food. We drank something that we shouldn't have drunk. These things we engage in all the time. So just by going to the doctor and he prescribes some pharmaceutical drugs or do a procedure does not alleviate our responsibility for knowing about this body and how to keep it healthy. In truth, brother and sister, the health problem that plagued mankind 4 million years ago are still the same one that's plaguing mankind today. Isn't that amazing? 4 million years, no progress in terms of health. The same diseases that plagued mankind 4 million years ago are the same one that plagued mankind today, making the same mistakes. And this problem stems from the consequence of eating bad food, thinking it that it's good food to eat. And when we eat bad food, brothers and sisters, it accumulates an enzyme deficit in us rather than building an enzyme surplus in us. We end up developing an enzyme deficit where we have fewer and fewer enzymes for digesting our food, and fewer enzymes for repairing and maintaining our body. There's two types of enzymes that we must always be producing. Digestive enzyme, of course, you know what they're for digesting our food. Everything we put in our mouth must be digested, even water. And there are many people who cannot digest water. That's why they don't drink it. They can't produce the enzyme to digest it. And if they drink water, then they get nausea, dizziness, sick on the stomach, gagging. The water want to come back up because they fail to produce the enzyme to digest it. Everything we put in our mouth must be digested. We must produce enzyme first to digest them. If you eat something, you fail to have the enzyme or produce the enzyme to digest it, then it's going to be residue left in the blood, circulating everywhere, causing problems. This is what happened, brothers and sisters. So we have to produce digestive enzyme, and we also have to produce ancillary enzyme for repair and maintenance to maintain the body, to keep the body in good repair. If we did these things here, keeping the body in good repair, we can achieve optimal health when our body becomes fortified against diseases. But there's a lot of work involved. It doesn't just happen automatic because we eat food every day. And we happen to select the wrong food to eat and we fail to have the enzyme to digest them, then we're going to be sick at some point. Because every day we eat them, we'll be producing fewer and fewer enzymes because we'll be on an enzyme deficit. At some point in time, we're going to run out of enzyme. Well, we won't be able to digest hardly anything that we eat. We give ourselves the food which produces the nutrients and the resources for ourselves so that we have the energy to carry out their responsibility to keep us healthy. This is how it works. This is how it works. And if we have an enzyme deficit, no way the person will be healthy. That is the first essential that the cell must produce, enzyme. Enzymes speed up the production of everything else or help to clear out concretion, monoconcretion, help to clear out poison and toxic. Help to clear out them. So if you have an enzyme deficit, how are you going to clear those things out? How are the cells going to be able to remove those things? Reverse symptom. And we said earlier that every disease is curable. Each and every one of us have all of the mechanism in our body already to cure every disease. And most diseases are preventable. But you have to know the rules and stay in compliance with the rules and the laws that govern our body, our anatomy and physiology. This is what optimal health is all about. So people eat bad food thinking that it is good food, and they are unaware that they should be producing enzymes to digest whatever they consume. Also, they should be producing thousands of ancillary enzymes for, number one, to clean up the digestive system after eating a meal. After eating a meal, the digestive system must be cleaned up, and it takes ancillary enzymes to do it. And number two, it must produce brain essential, body essential, and cell essential to run the body efficiently. Take enzymes to do that. This is why enzymes are so important. Without them, the body would come to a grinding halt. And anything that interferes or neutralizes or make them cause them to be worthless will also affect our health. Anything that causes our enzyme to be worthless will affect our health, brothers and sisters. This is how it is. A person can only get from their body what they put into it. So if you don't put in the work, if you don't learn some things and get better at applying those things, applying the knowledge, then health will be denied. That's what we were saying earlier. Now we have a school that can help each and every one of us to learn about what health is all about and equip us with how to live on this planet, that enforces scientific eating, scientific cooking, and scientific living. This science that we're talking about is symptometric science we call symptometry. It was created to correct all of the mistakes people have been making over 4 million years. Believe it or not. So mankind can finally close the chapter on the dark ages. We have to come out of the dark ages, brothers and sisters. We're in the modern time now. We're in the 21st century. And people are still dying from the same diseases mankind had 4 million years ago and making the same mistake that mankind made 4 million years ago. We think all we have to do is eat something that's edible and we'll be healthy. We thought food was our salvation. And there were people in history who said, let your food be your medicine and let your medicine be your food. That is nothing but garbage. That's not a fact. It's garbage. Food cannot be your medicine. Medicine cannot be food. Food is the problem why we are sick. That's what we all have in common. We eat food. But if we don't eat food, we're going to die of starvation. So now we must be very selective when it comes to food. And the American School of Symptomatology have done the research to determine what food is safe to eat. What food is safe to consume on planet Earth for a human being? Not just eating for culture, not just eating because it looks good and tastes good, not just eating because I like it. What's that have to do with anything? Because the mind, the person housed in this body, does not live off of physical food. The physical food is for the body, the cells, to give the cells the nutrients and resources so they can best take care of us. They're responsible for our health, our cells. So just give them what you like to eat or what you think they should have. And when you never inquire about what the cells need, then you'll be making mistakes just like we all are making. And just like we have been making. And that's what produced diseases. I hope I'm making the point here. I hope we're making the point. So now we're in the 21st century when it comes to science and technology, but in terms of cellular health, people are still living in the dark ages, brother and sister. Absolutely incredible. We still have the least amount of clue about how our body operates. Many of us have been to the schools, gotten different degrees, and we still don't understand how our body works. We get sick, we run to the doctor, and we never ask ourselves, what have we been eating over the last 2 days, 3 days? And we never go back in our mind to deconstruct what we ate. And you'll find the problem in the food, in the water, in the supplements you take, in the herbs you take. You'll find the answer there. So people do not know also why we're on this planet. We are created to live, brothers and sisters, not created to die. Even though we're biologically existent and someday we're going to die. We're here temporarily. But we are created to live. Why would the Almighty create us if all we have to do is end up dying? Why go through that? That serves no purpose. We're created to live. But we don't know how to live on the planet. We haven't learned yet because no one has really been teaching us. So now we'll start getting an education about how this body operates and what our purpose is. Our purpose is to reach our fullest potential, brothers and sisters, not to leave here without reaching our fullest potential, correcting our mistakes and our parent mistakes and those people that came before us. So we can inch closer and closer each generation towards that perfection. That's why we're here. But this will never happen if we never take our health seriously. It would never happen because the mind and the body work together. They're integrated, interrelated, interdependent, interconnected, and they affect each other. So, brothers and sisters, I hope we now have your attention. We have a school, and we mention also every time on this program about the school. This is how I know and learn the information that I'm sharing with you. I'm a student at the American School of Symptomatology in the doctorate program. And at the American School of Symptomatology, I'd like to share with you at this moment, it is a health literacy specialty school that achieved its objective by teaching the root cause therapeutics and disease prevention according to the principle and concept of symptomatic science, the science that's based on the fitra, the pattern in creation that Almighty God produced. Observing these patterns, these principles enforce the laws that enhances the health and the well-being of human cells and DNA on planet Earth that we've been taking for granted. To enforce these laws and rules, the school teaches the concept and principle that are in the corpus centenary of symptomatic science, that is the book. The specialty school has curriculum, teaching objectives, and teaching standards, a school policy, and research criteria and standards designed to meet its student, designed to make its student earth smart and health smart. Brothers and sisters, we must know where we are and who we are in order to navigate this place called earth. We can't take anything for granted. So there's various areas of expertise in cellular health that necessitate a diverse level of education. So I'd just like to give you some of this, especially the courses that's offered at the American School of Symptomatry. Just give you an idea of the kind of education a person can get. All about our cells and how they operate. Here are some specialty courses that's offered at the American School of Symptometry. Pregnancy management and postpartum care. We have to procreate ourselves, keep reproducing ourselves. If that number is not at a certain level, our population will continue to decrease. It needs to increase. More people need to be born than dying. And we're getting very, very close to that number. Well, we will not have an increase. And then that will be in the danger zone, brother and sister. I hope you'll follow me. So at the American School of Symptomatology, there's a course called Pregnancy Management. In order to have a healthy baby, must depend on the mother. Must depend on what the mother is eating. We already know there's toxins in the food, poison in the food. And plants have diseases. Animals have diseases. You're either going to eat plants or you're going to eat animals or both. And we have to eat a variety, which means we have to eat both. And if we're not careful, we don't use science, we're bound to be sick. And whatever is circulating in our blood, in the mother's blood, will be passed on to the child. So many children come here with enzyme deficit before they even get started in their life. And no one, we already stated, can be healthy on this planet with an enzyme deficit. So it is the mother's responsibility to build a firm foundation for the child. And that firm foundation starts with the three nervous system, brother and sister, because we are the being on this planet that's supposed to represent intellect. Intellect, intelligent. If the three nervous system not intact, the person would not be intelligent enough to survive on planet Earth. That's why pregnancy management is so very important. The toxin that would circulate in the mother's blood, the poison that would circulate in the mother's blood, would be passed on to the child in her womb. And it would come here with many problems. We like to prevent that. We want the child to come here with a perfect foundation, firm foundation, intact, so they can make the best of all of the opportunity and potential. This is our responsibility, brothers and sisters. The father must have the strongest sperm possible with no defects. How can he achieve that? With chaotic eating, drinking alcohol, using drugs, illicit drugs. Chaotic eating alone will cause problems for the spirit. That we ignite life in the egg. What are we doing, brother and sister? See, we all have a role to play. Another, especially the course at the American School of Symptometry, is mental and behavior disorder. Almost everyone you meet this day and time have some type of mental disorder, and they have their therapists, they go to the psychologist, they go to the psychiatrist, and they never get the help they need. Because neither one of them will ask you, what are you eating? They will never make a connection between the food and the person's mental disorder. Never. And when we know in symptometry that all mental illness are curable, all of them. But just counseling the person, that so-called therapy, would never reverse their condition. And using drugs would never reverse their condition. But symptometry knows exactly what it takes to satisfy the needs of the cells, the neurons, how to produce them by the billion every single day. That's what's required. And the person must use science to select their food, not just eating what I like. Eating for culture eating. Eating for your religion. No, we have to eat for health. We must use science to select our food. And the person must eat based on their condition. We all are not producing the same enzyme. If we have certain health conditions, that means certain enzymes are not being produced. That's why you have the condition in the first place. I hope that makes sense. Other specialty courses offered at the American School of Symptometry, sleep disorder. How many people that cannot have a sound sleep without taking a sleeping pill? If you take a sleeping pill, brothers and sisters, here's what happens. There'll be no repair and maintenance done as you sleep at night, because the body must have sound sleep naturally. If you induce sleep with a drug by way of a sleeping pill, health will be denied. There'll be no repair work done. Must have sound, natural sleep. You must have serotonin and melatonin, and the cell must produce it. You can't go to the health food store and buy these things. The cells must produce it in order for them to work in us. So sometimes they have a specialty course to teach you how to produce these things. What food is required? What molecules are required to produce the neurotransmitter and the hormone and the enzyme? So all of the essential will be produced by the cells. That's why we have cells. They are manufacturers of everything that's required to maintain health. All we need to do is give them the resources and the nutrients. If we find them and give it to them in the right amount, in the right proportion, the right timing, the right frequency, they have the ability to restore every disease, reverse every symptom to restore our health. We have neuromuscular and joint disorder course, spinal and bone disorder prevention, cardiac and renal disorder and prevention, oral and dental care, eye care, skin care, liver care. We even have athletics health, gastrointestinal care, endocrine care, producing all of the hormones and keeping them in balance, producing all of the sex hormone and keeping them in balance. So the person is a normal human being, not confused about sex or what gender he or she is. We're controlled by hormone and enzyme, neurotransmitter, neurochemicals. That's what controls human behavior as well. We have a course for female health care, scientific cooking, eating, and living on this planet, culinary specialization. And finally, there's a course to deal with all addiction and substance abuse intervention. What does it take to cure every addiction? Does it make any difference what they call it or what the source of it is? Sometimes it has the ability to remove the source of the addiction. There's a cause for every addiction and craving that people have. Something is producing. There's a source that's producing these things. And we have a specialty courses at the American School of Symptometry to teach us what to do and how to protect ourselves and how to protect our DNA. Absolutely amazing. Brothers and sisters, you're with Abdul Shaheed, your host of Optimal Health, and your certified symptometry health coach. Brothers and sisters, we're going to take another short break, so please do not go anywhere. We still have plenty of time left, and we're going to have plenty of time left for questions. So please take a moment to call someone you know that should be on this line listening, so they won't be confused anymore about their health, so they can become the very best possible human being on this planet, so we all work together to pull the best out of each other. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. CWSC, the Community-Wide Sure Conference, invites you to join us every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. for CARE on Air. That's the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Our American Muslim 360 host is Edward Ahmed Mitchell, attorney and deputy director. Edward Ahmed Mitchell is an attorney and former journalist who serves as the deputy director of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, the largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization in the United States. Join us every Tuesday and Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Deprita Hadi, Director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360 Islamic Radio Station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum, host, your quality assurance team leader, Abdul Shaheed, here to remind us that our quality assurance reports are due the third Sunday of each month. We're about to complete another fantastic month of broadcasting at AM 360. In our effort to continue to improve our platform, please complete and submit your personal quality assurance report by going to cwsc.us. Do a search in the search bar for SEO quality assurance review. Please read the instructions and scroll down to complete the review. Once completed, please click the submit button at the bottom left in red. And may we all have another successful month of broadcasting at AM 360. Thank you, Abdul Shaheed, Quality Assurance Team Leader. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Again, you're with Abdul Shaheed, your host of Optimal Health, and also your certified symptometry health coach. And those who are new to Optimal Health and symptometry, welcome. And thank you for joining us. In our topic, we had spoken earlier about the effect of tomatoes and potatoes on epilepsy. Those are people who have seizures. Sometimes they last just a few seconds. Sometimes they can last up to 5 minutes or longer. It just depends on how compromised they are or they have been with the poison that's in these foods. These foods are called nightshade. And tomatoes and potatoes are just a couple of them. There's more. But we're going to be talking about what's in the potatoes and tomatoes that will compromise the person's health. And before we finish, we're going to share information on the tomato sludge or potato sludge, how it affects our brain. How it affects our brain. Here again, we're taking a food and we're correlating the eating of that food person condition with the person disease. There's always a correlation between what the person is eating and their disease, brothers and sisters. This is the point that we're trying to drive home. Do not take it for granted. Do not take it for granted. Brothers and sisters, what is in tomato and potato that causes seizures or increase the frequency of seizure? There are three poisons in tomatoes and potatoes. Three poisons. The two main poisons in tomatoes are called tomatin, I spell it, T-O-M-A-T-I-N-E. And you can Google these. Look them up. Do your own research. Don't take my word. And solanine, spelled S-O-L-A-N-I-N-E. And the main poison that's in potatoes is the solanine. In tomato, you have both of them. You have tomatin and you have solanine. Now, I'm going to give you the chemical structure for both of those poisons. The chemical structure for solanine is C45H73NO15. Now, let's break it down. That means in this, these poison solanine, 45 atoms of carbon, 73 atoms of hydrogen, and 15 atoms of nitrogen monoxide. Now, compare that with the molecular structure of glucose, which is C6H12O6. C6H12O6, that is the molecular formula for glucose in glucose, where in this poison, it has 45. You see the difference in the number? And it has 12 atoms of hydrogen in glucose. And you see the number in solanine, have 73 hydrogen atoms. See the big difference? And glucose have oxygen, which is 6 atoms of oxygen in a molecule of glucose. And whereas there's no nitrogen monoxide in glucose. But in this poison, you have 15 atoms of nitrogen monoxide. We've all heard of carbon monoxide and what it's capable of doing to kill the person quickly. And the person does not get help or be woken up out of that deep sleep because of the effects of the carbon monoxide on them, they will be dead in no time. Well, nitrogen monoxide is even more deadly. And this is found in eating tomatoes. Not just tomatoes, but the tomato sauce, tomato paste, tomato soup, ketchup, all of these things have this chemical in it, have this alkaloid in it, poison in it. So you can see what, how much trouble it is. Now let's go to the other poison, tomatin, which has 50 atom of carbon, even more than in its selenium. And then it has 83 atoms of hydrogen. Hydrogen is the hottest gas, brother and sister, in the universe. So if someone has the burning sensation in their body, that's where it's coming from. Now you can see where acid reflux is such a big deal because of hydrogen. And that's what the person is experiencing, the heat from hydrogen. All peppers have hydrogen. That's what makes them hot. Then we have nitrogen monoxide, 21 atoms. In the oven, we only had 15, which makes it even more deadly. They're going to compromise the person's DNA. They're going to compromise the person's cells. They're going to cause the person to have all kind of mental issues because they will affect the brain cells, the axon, the dendrite. Poison will be in the synapse of the nerve cells, making the enzyme that's supposed to be there worthless. And you can understand the relationship of that with seizures. This is the problem. That is the problem, brother and sister. And I hope you continue to follow us as we try to break this down and explain it, how the effects of eating tomato and eating potato will cause epilepsy, seizure. We have several people that we've been dealing with for a number of months, brother and sister, that have these conditions. And they've been having those conditions for years. Children, 7-year-old, 6-year-old, been having those conditions for years. The mother didn't know what to do, back and forth to the doctor, back and forth to the doctor, 3, 4, 5 times a week. Continuous seizure, day and night. Now, after coming to symptometry, the seizures are almost down to zero because we go to the source of the disease. Source, brothers and sisters. Remove the source through ionization, oxidation, hydrolysis, and electrolyte dissociation. Those four methods to remove the source of every disease from the person's body. So, brother and sister, I hope you take us seriously because we have the ability to become disease-free and optimize our health and fortify our body against diseases. But it takes knowledge. That's what it takes. It takes sitting still long enough and studying something that you might not have thought of. That's what it takes, brothers and sisters, to be disciplined on selecting your food using science and not taking food for granted. And when you have an emotional problem, not eating food to make you feel better. Food is a double-edged sword. We can't live without it. And if we eat it, it has a way of killing us. Food kills, brothers and sisters. It is the nitrogen monoxide in tomatine and solanine that damage the enzyme in the synapse of the neurons that runs the brain, that runs the eyes, that runs the mouth, and runs the limb. And when a person has a stroke, those are the places that's affected. It's no accident, brother and sister. Their brain is affected, their eyes is affected, their mouth, slurred speech, all these things. Their limbs are affected. They are in a position that stiff. They can't stretch their fingers and toes out. They can't stretch out their arm. The elbow is cemented in place. When a person have a stroke, because of what we're just telling you, that poison causes all of these things. Now, when a person has a seizure, you see what's being affected. That poison would be in the synapse of the neurons. The neurons runs the brain and the body, if you don't know. Without neurons, you can't be here. no signal would be received and sent for the brain to receive and tell the body what to do. That's what the synapse is all about. There must be an enzyme there. But you have a poison there denaturing the enzyme to speed up the production of the signal and receiving the signal. There will be a disconnect, brother and sister, and that's what you see in a person who has epilepsy, who has seizures. There are no mystery diseases. Every disease can be explained, whether your doctor can explain it or not. That's his problem. The purpose of the enzyme in the synapse is to speed up the transmission of electrical signal from the axon and the dendrites. Damaging this enzyme will cause an interruption in the signal transmission within the electrical circuitry of the three nervous system. Three nervous system, brothers and sisters. What we say earlier, it is the mother's responsibility to build a firm foundation in the baby, and that foundation is based upon the three nervous system because of our intellect must be intact in order to navigate planet Earth. In order to be health smart and earth smart, we must have our intellect. In order to protect our DNA, we must have our intelligence. Without it, health denied. This interruption, brother and sister, will cause seizures lasting anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes, depending on the amount of nitrogen monoxide in the person's system. This information you will get nowhere else on this planet. I'm sharing the information with us. You go to the doctor, he will keep addressing the symptoms. This was the case in the person that we're working with. That's all they did. They want to do surgery. They want to prescribe more drugs. They want to do more tests. In less than 3 months, the seizures are almost non-existent. Absolutely amazing. It's not magic. It's knowing what to do and how the body operates. And people still think we don't have access to this information. Don't take it for granted, brother and sister. We now have a school, and we can all be in this school, learning even more and be in charge of health in the world. This is my message to all of us. If we don't wake up, other people will see the advantage in this and take it. And that's what's going to be happening. It already began to happen. And I'm doing all the best that I can to get more and more of us engaged in this science. So we could be in charge of health care in the world because we know the one that's available now is not working for us. Nor is it working for anyone else. Well, we digress. The bigger the amount of nitrogen monoxide in the person, the longer the episode and the greater the frequency of the episode of the seizures. There's always a connection, brother and sister, with what the person eats and the anomaly that occurs in their body. No disease is a mystery. I hope we have that down by now. I hope we have it. No disease is a mystery. This is very important to understand. Every disease can be traced to its source. And this is the specialty of symptometry, symptomatic science, to trace every disease to its source. The liver detoxifies poison, but it must have the nutrients and resources that it needs to do it. That's what must happen. The question is, how can the liver detoxify specific poison when it does not have the nutrients and the resources to produce the poison neutralizer? Epileptic and their parents are not aware of the importance of always removing sludge from the liver and providing the liver with specific nutrients and resources to perform specific tasks. Our liver is very, very important, brothers and sisters. If our liver is not healthy, sooner or later, the kidney would not be healthy. The other organ would not be healthy. The heart would not be healthy. The lung would not be healthy. All of our organs gravitate surround itself with the resources that come from the liver. It is just like the sun nourishing the planets. That's how important our liver is. And we must always be taking care of it. If it becomes congested, you now have a place to go to decongest it. Because sooner or later, if you ignore it, it's going to affect other organs. This is how we are. We're interconnected. We're integrated, interdependent, interrelated. And we operate as one biological unit. Or disease anywhere in our body going to sooner or later affect the rest of the body. The disease will pull down the healthy portion of the body. The disease portion will pull down the healthy portion. This is why, brothers and sisters, we must cure our disease and not allow someone just to treat the symptoms. I hope we're making sense, and I hope you'll follow us, and I hope you understand what's being said. Because if we fail to apply the information, help will be denied. It's not about knowing the information. It's called applied therapeutic science. It must be applied in order to benefit from it. Coming to listen every week and not doing anything about it, health will still be denied. Health will still be denied. So a huge amount of nitrogen, monoxide, carbon, and hydrogen are the three poisons that are in tomato and potatoes. And we're not telling anyone to stop eating them. Eat them. And you fail to remove them, that poison, then it's going to accumulate in your blood. And blood goes where? Everywhere in the human body. And this is what happens. So we're just talking about two items of food, two foods. And making a correlation between that food and the person's disease. That's what we're doing here. So we already given you the chemical structure for selenite, C45, H73, NO15. We broke them down and explained what the atoms are, how many atoms are in these things. We did the same thing with tamantine. C50, H83, NO21. It's more toxic than selenite. These things are found in nightshade plants. Not only in tomatoes and potatoes, but eggplants. And also in different seasonings that come from nightshade, paprika, curry. If you consume these things, at some point, you need to ionize for the selenite and for the tamantine if you want to remain healthy. At the point of saturation, that's when you start having problems. And no one knows what that point is. But that's when you will begin to have these problems. At the point of saturation. And I already said, the organ that would be most affected would be the eyes, the brain, the mouth, and the limbs. You know, we have two arms and two legs. Those are the places that would be most affected. Because of the neurons. And those poisons would be in the synapse of the neurons, interfering or interrupting the electrical signals that cause our body to function properly. So the total number, if the person ate tomato, both of these poisons would be present. In just a potato, that's only one of these poisons is present, and that's the selenite. But in tomato, both of these poisons are present. And you add them together, just in the nitrogen monoxide alone would be 100, would be 90, how many, let me see, would be 36 atoms of nitrogen monoxide. And you compare that with glucose, which is no nitrogen monoxide. And that is the energy that our cells use for fuel. That's just to make a comparison. Nitrogen monoxide is more deadly than carbon monoxide. So we're not supposed to have it in our body, but it's in tobacco. It is other nightshades. People smoke tobacco. It's amazing, brothers and sisters, what's going on here. And we know that the tomatoes industry, potato industry, is a billion-dollar industry. There's no restaurant in the world that do not sell these two products in some form or fashion, tomatoes and potatoes. You have French fries. You have ketchup. You have all of these cultural places. People sell pizza, lasagna, all these things people are eating, salsa, all the cultured food use tomato. All of them. Asian culture, African culture, German culture, Italian. All of the culture use these foods, brothers and sisters. And we're not trying to run nobody out of business. We're just educating our listener. Those who want to become optimally healthy and what you have to do. You can still eat these things if you want. That's up to you. Life is about making choices. But if you eat them, now you know how to neutralize the poison. You have to, at some point, use subatomic particle called particulates to ionize the poison, to neutralize it, and to help your liver with the nutrients and resources so it can detoxify the poison. That's how it's done. I just explained it all to you. How can an epileptic have fewer episodes or no episode at all, regardless of whether it is grand mal or petit mal episodes? They must be re-educated on the underlying causes of the seizures, and this underlying cause is found in the food that the person eats. Sometimes it's in the pharmaceutical drugs that the person is taking. All nightshades, brothers and sisters, have selenite. Paprika, eggplants, all pepper, tobacco, curry powder, blueberry, or nightshade. And I did say all nightshade. I just named them. And they should be known for what they really are. Food can be a killer, brothers and sisters. This is what we're saying. But, you know, if you don't eat food, you're going to die of starvation. So now you must learn how to use science to select your food. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to be starting to open up our line for anyone who have questions or comment to make. We're going to make it available. Just press 1 on your phone, and we'll open your mic. We ask you to identify yourself and let us know where you're calling from. And then we'll address your question, and then we'll hear your comment that you have to make. So we must eat to live, brother and sister, not eat to die and kill ourselves, not poison ourselves. This is the knowledge that was not available to our parents and grandparents. They didn't have this knowledge. Today we do. Today we do. We must learn to provide our liver with the nutrients and resources to detoxify the three poisons that's found in tomato and potatoes, as well as the selenine that is found in other nightshades. If we did that, we'd be healthy than we currently are, brother and sister. Countless foods are cytotoxic. Isn't that amazing? The food. And people don't even think about that. It is the food. It's always been the food that makes mankind sick. It has been making mankind sick. It's always been the food. Now we have undisputed truth. Sometimes you use a chromatography machine to identify the chemical structure of the substance that's in the food, and it's undeniable. So now we have the science of selecting our food. Not only that, we have the science of properly cooking our food. Many people do not understand cooking. You cannot eat plant food raw, brother and sister. You cannot eat plants raw. If you eat plants raw, all you have eaten is cellulose that make up the plant. And you missed out on the nutrients that the plant have because the nutrients are locked up with a molecular bond, B-O-N-D-S, bond. Those bonds must be broken by using thermal energy, heat, and cooking the nutrients and the few amino acids that they have. That is the reason why we eat plants. They're called incomplete protein for that reason because they have fewer amino acids. Protein food like meats are called complete protein because they have more amino acids. If you make a mistake and pigeonhole yourself as a vegan or vegetarian, you will never, I mean never, become optimal and healthy. I don't care what people tell you. It won't happen. It will not happen, brother and sister. So we must take care of our liver. Our liver has the ability to detox poison from our body. But we got to give them the right nutrients and the right resources to do it. The liver has over 20 fully operational, interconnected, and interdependent segments. These segments that work overtime, day and night, nonstop, are central to our cellular health. Central to our cellular health, brothers and sisters. The person who keep ignoring the needs of their liver will never be healthy in their joints, in their mind, in their bones, in their gums, in their lungs, in their kidneys, in their blood, in no part of the body, ever. What can the brain achieve without the liver? Absolutely nothing, brothers and sisters. Have to not. I don't care what the person is trying to do. I don't care what you've been told. Doesn't matter. You must have a healthy liver. If your liver have issues, you have a problem. The heart have a problem. The brain has a problem. Doing liver detox with herbs, including milk stencil, and taking dietary supplement would never remove sludge from the liver. And how did sludge got there? How did it get there, brother and sister? Every time we eat food, because we have salt in our blood, it causes the food to break down to a substance called debris. Every time we eat food, I don't care how many enzymes we're producing, it's going to turn into debris because there's salt in our blood. And salt is a reactor that turns nutrients into debris. And we have to remove the debris. This is the problem because we eat food. I don't care whether it's healthy food or unhealthy food. That's why eating food is a double-edged sword. Debris is going to always be produced. And we're composed of 94% water, brothers and sisters. When you mix debris with water, you get sludge. It's like a dirt road. When the rain comes, you have mud. What happened in the universe also happened in our body. That's a sign of it right there. And I hope we see the connection. So syntymogen has particulates to remove sludge. If you don't periodically remove the sludge, as you continue to age, oxidative stress sets up, speed up things faster. Things that didn't affect us in our younger years begin to affect us as we age because of oxidative stress. Oxygen will give us life, and it's the same thing will take our life. This is the paradox in this universe, brother and sister. There's positive and negative in everything. The Almighty created everything in pairs. And we must understand the pair. That's what keeps things in balance, brothers and sisters. We have a lot to learn. So if you have a question, we see a question. Hand raised for 718-790. Your mic is opening. Give us your name and where you're calling from and ask your question or comment.
Assalamu alaikum. This is William Kareem. I'm calling from New York City. Enjoying the show.
Thank you.
I'd like to know, you know, especially in the day and time that we're actually living in, with right now you're talking about the liver. And so I guess over a period of time, the liver becomes toxified. I'm sure that there are natural ways that the liver has that fights against pollutions and things like that. But also, what is the benefit, if there is one, of exercise along with does exercise also benefit and help the liver to detoxify the things that come into it? Thank you.
Excellent question, my brother. Excellent question. Thank you for that question. Yes, exercise is very important, but here's the point. Here's what people don't think about. It is the kind of exercise. You know, we think exercise is exercise. Everything, there's a component in different things in everything that we do. It needs to be the kind of exercise that causes pressure. Pressure exercise, pushing exercise, pulling exercise, stretching exercise. These kind of exercises are very, very important for the person, because if we engage in this type of exercise, it will help fortify our blood vessels. Our blood vessel is part of the infrastructure for our body. It is the infrastructure. All of the resources are circulating in the person's blood, the nutrients and the resources. Electrical energy, thermal energy, magnetic forces, all this is circulating in the blood. So if there's a problem with the person's veins and capillaries and artery, because they have become less and less flexible and they're becoming stiff because of what the person has been eating for decades, then they will lose their elasticity and they will not be able to participate in the regulation of blood pressure along with the heart. If that is the case, if blood pressure is not normal, many cells will not receive the nutrients and resources that it needs, including the liver. Blood pressure must be normal, not too high, not too low. And this is the point with exercise. Deep breathing exercise in the area, in these three areas, at least once or twice a week in these three areas, deep breathing exercise to get into the system singlet oxygen, not just oxygen, singlet oxygen will help the person to remove minor debris. Singlet oxygen can be obtained where you have a forest reserve, where you have a beach, where you have a lakefront. Those are the three places you can get singlet oxygen. It will help the person to remove minor concretion from their blood, from the cells. But stretching exercise, pulling exercise, running in place, moving your arm as high as you can move them, like swinging your arm with a soldier, marching, but you're not marching, you're standing in place. Those type of exercise strengthen the heart, strengthen all of the organs. This is exercising that makes a difference. Yeah, we can do the other kind. You can lift the weights. You can be on those little cycles, and you can ride your bicycle all over the place. That's good. But you want to do the exercise that really makes a difference. And you don't even have to go to the gym, brother and sister. You can do them right in a chair. Right in your home. So it's the kind of exercise that will strengthen our organ, our tissue, our blood vessels.
Is it ever too late as you get older to do exercise?
No, it's never too late to do anything to help the person's health. It is never too late. Long as the person is still breathing, there's improvement that they can make in their health. They can always modify their diet and their lifestyle, and that will add years God willing, to their health. See, we have been created to live, not to die. Even though we're going to die one day, but we're not created for death. We're created to live. But we must know how our body operates. And what we have to do to take care of ourselves is at the cellular level, deep down, within the nucleus, if our DNA become compromised, we're going to be producing many diseases because the gene will never release the blueprint to a DNA that's in disrepair. It must be repaired. And most of us have never heard that your DNA can be repaired. That is the first thing that must happen to reverse a disease. And cytometry, the most scientific and natural means to address the needs of human cells, has what it takes to repair the DNA. Once the DNA is repaired, then the gene will release the blueprint. It has nothing to do with our age. Health has absolutely nothing to do with age. That make sense?
Yes, sir.
And you can become healthier at any point that you decide to make up your mind, because that's where health and disease starts. It starts in the person's mind. If we have a change of mindset and look at food differently, then we can begin to learn about health. Health starts in the mind. The mind must agree with what the cells need and give it to them, and the cell will reward the person with good health. That's the only way that it works.
Thank you.
You certainly appreciate those questions, brother. That's, those two questions, excellent. And hopefully it helps someone else in their quest to optimal health. It is our aim and objective for all of us to become optimally healthy so we can become the very best possible human being on this planet. That's why our health cannot be ignored. We can't take it for granted. Without our health, the brain would be impoverished. Our mind would be impoverished. The mind is the decision maker. It makes all of our decisions. If we're not producing neurotransmitter, neurochemical, we'd be on the wavelength of evil people in our lineage. There will be beaming misinformation to our memory, and that's what we'll be utilizing. Bad information, bad knowledge. And that's why the world is upside down today. And we must write it back side up like it's supposed to be, to create the normalcy that was created in the first place, to restore the normalcy, not create normalcy, but to restore normalcy. That's what a disease is, abnormalcy. And that's what we see in our society today. Too much abnormalcy. We must restore the normalcy. That's why we're here, brother and sister, believe it or not. That's our purpose, to restore normalcy. I certainly appreciate those questions, brother. If you press one on your phone, then I can open the line for another question. Thank you so very much. Assalamu alaikum. We have 914-886. Your mic is open. Give us your name and where you're calling from. And ask your question.
This is Sister Hadia, Brother Abdul.
Well, like I said, I'm Sister Hadia. How are you doing?
I'm fine, alhamdulillah. You?
We're doing excellent. And it's good to hear from you.
Thank you so much. My question is that I see that there's so many people that have a distended abdomen, and is it besides fat development of the abdomen, is liver also enlarged to cause such distension of so many people's abdomen?
Yes, that can be a problem with the liver. It's always go back to the liver. It is the liver that detoxifies ammonia, and people that eat salad, they don't realize that there's ammonia they also add into our body. Our body already produces ammonia. Now that becomes excess ammonia. Ammonia is a toxic gas. And that explains the bloatiness in this abdomen area. We call it pot belly, right? And some people,
yeah,
that's what they call it. But that can be reversed. The person needs to cook their food, cook all plant food. You can't eat salad, because all green leaves are composed of ammonia. And then if the liver cannot process the ammonia, or you have a compromised liver, ammonia will turn every part of our body into mush. That's why you have the fluid. Fluid on the heart, fluid in the lung, fluid on the ankle, every part of the body, because we're made of collagen. and ammonia will disintegrate collagen, turn it into mush. Believe it or not. So you're absolutely correct. The person needs to modify their diet and produce enzymes, you know, to reverse their condition. They have an enzyme deficit because they've been eating the food that have been denaturing the enzyme. So now they have fewer and fewer enzymes for digestion, and they have fewer and fewer enzymes for maintenance and repair. And then from the liver, the sludge that's produced, the sludge that we produce, they need to ionize the sludge from the liver and also from the stomach. That sludge will coat the lining of the liver and the stomach. That's why you have the bloatiness. Okay, you have another question? So you're absolutely correct.
The particulars that would be used to detoxify the liver, will they also purify the blood as well?
Oh yes, because all of the resources come through the liver. The red bone marrow needs resources from the liver. Our blood is produced in the red bone marrow. Okay? So if you have a clean liver, the person's health is going to be much, much better. You cannot be healthy with a compromised liver. So our liver, we just cannot put enough emphasis on it. What can the heart do without the liver? What can the brain do without the liver? Nothing. All of the organs depend on a healthy liver. You're absolutely correct, again. If you want to detoxify your blood, it takes particulates and molecules to do that, to ionize the toxin from the blood. But we also have to ionize the sludge and the toxin from the liver so the liver can detoxify everything else. The liver has a component and segment that can detoxify the organs. Yes, that's part of its function. Yes.
So why not, when you start on the molecules in particular, the first approach would be to detoxify the blood in the liver, to start off before starting, like,
well, it depends.
Sure,
well, here's the thing. Excuse me for interrupting. Here's the thing. The person has certain condition, and they talk with the doctor of symptometry, and they prioritize those conditions. Now, if a person have diabetes, they have hypertension, those are very important things because the blood must move with speed. So those conditions must be taken care of. You know, you can detoxify the liver, remove blood impurity, but if the blood is moving slow, the blood pressure is not normal, well, you still have a problem. So the infrastructure, so to speak, must be taken care of first, along with the doctor of symptometry would prioritize the person, what the person need to do first. And then the person have a certain amount of money, then that also would dictate what the person need to have done first. And then the person itself have preferences. You can make suggestions, but the person, well, I want to do this. There's just many things to consider, Sister Hadia. If they have cancer,
okay,
they want to address that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, even after the person's condition is taken care of, there's still work to be done because health deal with maintenance and repair every single day. There's not going to be a time where we don't be doing anything about our health. We always have the maintenance and repair work to be done. We eat food, that means periodically we have to ionize the debris from the food. We have to, periodically we have to ionize our blood. Periodically we have to ionize our liver. So as a person learns about symptometry and gain more knowledge, they will understand that. And that's what the whole overall process is. No one have told us about the maintenance and repair. This is nonstop for the rest of our life, the maintenance and repair work, because we eat food and we live on planet Earth. The water has pollutant in it. The air has pollutant There's toxins coming from everywhere. Well, first, the person must at least deal with their chronic diseases, something that's pressing on them. Then when they get that taken care of, and then there's other maintenance things that they can begin to work on. Is that making any sense?
Of course, of course. I have another question, not to but how do you start to study symptometry? You know, do you go? Is it online? Is it on Zoom? Is it books? You know, admissions. Like, how do you get into starting the study of symptometry?
Becoming a student. How do you become a student?
Yes.
Is that the question?
Yeah,
you can become a student. And the first foundation, of course, that a person will have to take to become a student of symptometry is Symptometry 101. And that's one of the courses that I'm presently teaching at the American School of Symptometry, Symptometry 101. That is the foundational course. And then you have 102 and 201. Those are the three foundational courses for all of the courses at the American School of Symptometry. You simply go to the website, and you'll see the courses there. You set up an account, and you fill out the information there through setting up an account, and then you start classes. The school will contact you, give you the start date when the classes start. As a matter of fact, the first week in August will be the next when the next semester starts. In the month of July, we had specialty courses that have been offered. It was about correlation diagnosis, how food is correlate with the person's disease, and this is each week in during the month of July. And all of the courses are offered on Zoom. You don't have to leave town. You don't have to go to Illinois where the home office is. You can be in right in your comfort of your home, and there will be recording that you can get of the classes. The class of Symptometry 101, 102, and 201 last for an hour per month. You get an assignment that you must complete during the month, and you have the recording, the PowerPoint presentation, whatever there that the instructor might have that you study from during the month. So it's an excellent way to learn. And this is how symptometry has been educating people for about a decade now, ever since, I think, we're 2012. Yeah, over a couple of decades now. I've been studying symptometry myself ever since 2013. And there's no end, because there's always more to learn. We will never get to the bottom. Always more to learn. And this is a good thing about symptometry. And a person can learn about their body that things that we didn't learn before to reverse their condition, to achieve optimal health, to cure every disease. Dr. Maxwell Norton cured every disease that he had. And he had cirrhosis of the liver of the worst kind. And he cured it where his doctor had given up on him, told him nothing else they can do. They washed their hands, said, go home and die. Wait to die. He was not ready to die. He knew he had a purpose, and he found it. And he founded the American School of Symptometry, and he developed the symptometric science called symptometry. Amazing, where anybody can learn and become a healer, a healing facilitator to help the cells to cure every disease. So that's what you'll be learning at the American School of Symptometry. I went over some of the specialty courses where a person can get an associate degree in cellular health and disease prevention. They can get a bachelor. I have the associate. I have the bachelor. I also have the certified symptometry health coach. And also now I'm working on the master and doctoral at the same time. When I became a student at the American School of Symptometry, they did not offer the master program. So I went straight from the bachelor to the doctoral program. Now I decided to go back and take care of the master. So there'll be no excuse saying that I missed something. No, I'm going to take every course that the American School of Symptometry offer so we can fortify our knowledge to help more people. And then the person, you can go into business for yourself. You can be a real health certified symptometry health course, that something that's really big, things that your doctors do not have a clue about because they're not trained in that regard. Every disease is curable, and there's no mystery diseases. We go to the source of the disease, and we learn about what produced the disease in the person. Your doctor studied pathology, diseases. Sometimes you take it a step further, study the source of the disease and remove it. That's what makes the difference. It is a natural pattern that the Almighty has set up in the creation, and that's what symptomology follows. Whenever a person is not in compliance with the natural laws and the rules that's been established, that's when the body will give them sign called symptom. If they fail to respond properly, those symptoms turn into diseases. And this happens on so many different levels in the human being life. So many different levels. So that's an excellent question. So we hope that we get more students, more people just become students. Age has nothing to do with it. As we age, we should continue to learn because learning stimulates imagination. Imagination stimulates creativity. Creativity stimulates determination to just keep living, finding our purpose. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. I have another question. Basically,
yes, ma'am.
In other studies similar to nursing studies, it takes you like maybe 6 to 10 years to get an actual doctoral degree or EDD, a PhD. How many years would it take to get a doctoral degree in symptometry?
Well, I would have to say it depends on the person. Because here, nobody's forcing you to do anything. That's, you know, you have your own, basically your own timeline. Because symptometry at this point is catering to the older group, older ages. People that really now want to have the time and want to learn about how to reverse their diseases. This is most of the students at the American School of Symptometry. They're well past 50, so to speak. So the timing depends on the person. But of course they have guidance. It takes about 3 years to get your bachelor, another year of advanced study, you can get a master, and another year after that, you do your thesis and all that, then you can get a doctor degree in cellular health at the American School of Symptometry. So you can do it within 3, 4, 5 to 6 years. It may take some people 8 years to do it, like me. I'm taking my time, make sure I understand every stage of the way. And then sometimes the people say, well, I need to take a break because it is very intense. Mm-hmm. There's so much to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
nobody has brought. See, what symptometry has done, Sister Hadiya, you know, all those signs we had in school, the chemistry, the physics, the biology, all those different sciences, no one, when we were there as a student, applied those science to our body. They applied them in space. It was like out in space somewhere. And what symptometry has done, it taken all of those sciences and applied them to the human body, anatomy and physiology. Now it makes more sense why we have the science in the first place, is to understand the working of our own body. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
That's where the science needs to be applied first. We are a microcosm of the universe, and all of the science in the universe apply to this body. And when we're in violation of the science, our body will give us a sign called symptoms. And if we continue to ignore them, we'll be blessed with a disease. A disease is the penalty for ignoring them. So if you're interested in becoming a student of symptometry, I'll refer you to the website. That's amsos.org. Click on course.
I just want to write it down, please.
Sure. And I'm going to give that same information before we get off, but our time is getting away. We have one other caller.
Okay, what
with
is
a hand
it?
Raised. The website for the American School of Symptometry is amsos.org. American School of Symptometry. And you see the universal sign, SOS, AMSOS, the universal sign for help.
Mm-hmm.
.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you click on courses there at the website, and you will see the curriculum and everything. You will see the different courses that's offered, starting with Symptometry 101, which is the foundation of courses, then 102 and 201. Those are the foundation of courses. And you pass those. Then you get an associate degree in symptometrics and science, or the disease prevention and health and longevity. Mm-hmm. And then I suggest when you finish those, you go ahead and get the health coaching certificate. And you have a health coaching certificate, you can begin to make money, pay for the fees and all, as well as continue to maintain and repair your own health, your own body. That's the route that I chose to do. I became a certified symptometry health coach right after completing the associate degree. Then I got a bachelor's degree in cellular health. Now we're working on the doctorate and master.
Excellent.
And once completing the thesis, then I will have the master. And then the thesis that we're having, the effects of slavery on the African-American people, how that impacted our mentality, how that affected our mental health, the effects of slavery on the African-American people's mental health. That is our thesis. And all mental diseases are curable. They're reversible. We've helped so many people, bipolar, schizophrenia, delusionism, all mental illness are reversible. But if you go to a psychiatrist and psychology, they prescribe drugs. They will never reverse them. And no psychologist and psychiatrist has ever cured one mental illness. Isn't that amazing? They never cured one person.
Mm-hmm. Just treated the symptoms.
They just treat the symptoms, and drugs makes things worse.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they chose to do. You have another question? We're going to catch this other caller right quick.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to
appreciate the question. So you go to the website. If you need any further help, you know, you got my number. You can just call me. And if we have to walk you through the process or have the school to contact you, we'll do that. Because we need students, we're looking forward to students, and we need to take advantage of the science. We need to take advantage of the school. And because nobody's coming to save us, Sister Hadia, we must gain the knowledge and save ourselves. It might sound cruel, but we have to pull up our pants and get to work. We have everything within us to cure every disease. And our mental health is very important. Our brain, we must protect. That is our intellect. Without it, we're doomed. We're stuck. Okay? So our other callers have dropped. So you have another question, Sister Hadia?
No, I had hit one. I had hit one. I don't have another question.
Thank you so very much.
I can set a goal, though, for getting a doctorate degree in 4 years. That would be a goal that I would set.
Yeah, that can happen. Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we need people everywhere, all over this globe. You know, our aim is to set up healthcare centers all over the place and really offer true healthcare, not sick care. Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's our goal.
Great.
And they have a facility that offers cooking. They offer have a facility that offers cooking, scientific eating, scientific living, all the science. That's what we have to do. And we thank you for the question and the comment that you made.
You're
we certainly do.
Salam.
Thank you. Brothers and sisters, we have a few more minutes. I know we had a caller earlier. So if you have a question or a comment to make, we have time for a couple more calls. We have time for a couple more questions. We had someone on earlier. I apologize. You can press 1 on your phone and we'll open your mic. Anyone that have a question or comment to make? If you have a question at all, just press 1 on your phone and we'll open your mic. And we hope and pray that we share information that's useful. Please share the information with other people in your network and encourage them to come to Scintometry to take care of the issue. I see another. Okay, we have a hand raised. 718-806. Your mic is opening. Please give us your name where you're calling from.
You said that following scintometry, I can arrest mental illness and schizophrenia.
Oh yes, sir. Every disease is curable. It's up to the person.
Yeah, because I take medication for it, and it got me bloated out. And could I possibly get your number?
Yes, sir. Before I get off the line, we're going to give out our contact information. If you take pharmaceutical drugs, the mental illness will get worse. It does not go to the source. Every disease has a source. Say again?
I've been taking it about 6 years.
Yes. It doesn't matter how long you've been taking it. It won't work. It does not work. And here's I can give you the 3 weeks.
Illness is just arrested.
Yes. They're treating the symptoms. There's three substances that's in the drug that will make matters worse. Three substances. I'm going to tell you what they are. I see a lot of hand raised. I'm going to try to get to all of them. There's a product in the drug called Akil that removes hydrogen from the cells. There's another product called halogen, which is a mineral salt that compromises the cell. And then there's toxic metal from the preservative that's in the drugs. They will also denature enzymes. Those are the three things that produce side effects that's in drugs. The purpose of drugs is during the time of trauma and emergency to stabilize the person within the 3 days or so. After that, you have to contact someone who know how to heal the body. That's what must happen.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to give my contact information, and you just give us a call, and we'll walk you through the process and give you the necessary guidance you need to reverse your condition, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you very
much. You have
much.
Another question? Thank you.
No, just that.
Press 1 on your phone, then we'll close your mic, and then we'll have two more questions before we get out. Thank you so very much. Your mic is open.
Yes, this is Polonese. Are you able to hear me?
Oh, yes, I hear you quite well.
Okay, I have two questions. First one is I was on your website, and the book on there that I wanted to order, is there any other way I can get that book without having to go through Amazon?
No, you can call the home office. Which of the book is the What to Consume or The Downside of Nutrition?
You know, I can't remember the name of it. I know I only saw one on there, but I would be interested in both.
I just don't want to go through
Amazon to get it.
No problem. You can contact the home office, and I can call you later and facilitate that for you.
Okay, thank you. I got your
information. And thank you.
Okay. Okay, the second question is, I've been dealing with a lot of emotional stress through the loss of loved ones.
Yeah.
It's been mainly it. Probably even from way back from abuse in childhood, where
Absolutely.
My body, I've been studying how your body holds on to these things
yes.
in order to help
right.
you to survive. And so I'm pretty sure that throughout life, that's what I've done. Well, it's coming to a head now because I'm holding, it's my body's continuously bringing it on and holding on and holding on to even additional things in life, like all that is dying. Okay, and I've never been able to cope with that anyhow. I've lost my sister last year, my brother this month, so forth. It just keeps going. So mm-hmm. in the process of that, I ran into some information. I'm going to spell the word for you in case I mispronounce it, where it's some information out there helping people, and I want to know from you what's your thought on this.
Excuse me, sister. Since the time is factor, I have two more people to try to get to. I can. We can talk later. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
I'd rather talk later so I can spend time giving
you
the right information.
That's fine. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And we'll call
All right.
you right after the program. We'll call you.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye bye. 747-283, your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. How you doing? We only have a few
I'm fine,
few
alhamdulillah.
Seconds.
Okay. I want you to find out. In my research, I'm finding that because I know sometimes they use poison to kill another kind of poison. Okay.
Yeah, that's what they say.
So where tomatoes and potatoes are concerned, can you please research and find out if that can kill the poison from snake venom. I forgot the word. Yeah.
Snake
can
venom.
It kill the poison in snake? And you're saying, yes, it can? Or are you just saying... acknowledging because and the reason I'm telling you this is because there are reports that saying that it's within the vaccine and the symptoms that people are having with the heart with the blood clotting and stuff like that is also symptoms of snake venom. So I would like for y'all to please research that
Here's what we're able to do. We're able to remove all of the poison from our blood. We have particulates to do that. That's
I
all the person needs to
that
do.
From
remove
your
the adjuvant of the vaccine. Just remove the adjuvant from the vaccine, and they will not cause any harm to the person. We have particulates to remove all of the adjuvant from the vaccine, so it would do you no harm. That's it.
Right,
I don't know what they have.
I understand that from where you're coming from, but not everybody is going to or even know about symptometry. So
I don't know how they're going to know about the snake venom. I don't know.
Well, I think people should pay more attention to Robert F. Kennedy also because he is being censored.
What I'm saying is we can take charge of our own health, remove those people who took the vaccine, remove the adjuvant from the blood. That's all you got to do. And those things will not continue to affect the person. It will not continue to affect the person. That's it. Whether they have snake venom in it, it doesn't make any difference what they have in it. It can be neutralized with the particulate.
Right.
It doesn't make any difference what they have.
Right.
That's all I'm sharing with you.
I'm just in a little disagreement with the oil of the I'm rushing and forgetting the canola oil because canola oil is
yes, ma'am.
A is oh God I'm sorry. I'm rushing now, and I'm.
You're fine. You're fine. We have to continue it next week. I have a program coming right after me, and I'm taking up your time. I'm going to have to go. I apologize.
Okay.
Call into the program next week.
Thank you.
Or give me
Thank
a call,
you.
And then we'll go from there. So I can't even give out my information right now, but I'm going to take another
right
moment to try to. I apologize. I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's okay.
Salaam alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
Well, brother and sister, our time is up. My past time. I need to get out of here. Please give us a call. You may reach us at 678-572-7269. You also may send us an email at ashaheed2@gmail.com. So, brother and sister, please stay tuned to our next program with Imam Abdul Aziz of Masjid Adam, the Center of Human Excellence in Bronx, New York. We are all together under all circumstances. We greet everyone with the greeting of peace. As-salamu alaykum. Peace be unto you. Thank you.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service, and strengthen our National Intelligentsia Network. Contact Corporate Underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة الله وسلامه ورحمته وبركاته على شفوة الخلق سيدنا محمد وعلى آله تاهرين وعلى أصحابه أجمعين ورحمة الله ومغفرته على تابعين وتابعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين والسلام على إمام ورث الدين والسلام علينا وعلى عباده الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وتنظر نفس ما كتمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون We seek refuge in Allah from Shaitan the accursed and we begin with the name of Allah the merciful benefactor the merciful redeemer we praise him we seek his aid And we humbly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to establish his prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings upon his noble messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we humbly ask Allah to establish the very same prayers, the very same peace, the very same mercy and blessings upon all of his family members who followed him in purification. And we humbly ask Allah to establish the very same prayers, peace, mercy, and blessings upon all of his illustrious companions together. We ask the forgiveness of Allah and mercy upon the followers and their followers in excellence to the day of judgment. And we humbly ask Allah to establish his mercy and peace upon Imam Dr. Waruthuddin Muhammad, as we ask Allah to establish peace amongst ourselves and the righteous servants of Allah, no matter where we may be, no matter where we may be from, and to all of that we say Ameen. I openly bear witness that there is absolutely none worthy of worship or praise except Allah, who is unique without any associate whatsoever, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. Dear brothers and sisters, Allah calls our attention in the Quran, and he says, O ye who have obtained true faith, be mindful of Allah and fear him with a rational fear, and let every person consider what they put out for tomorrow, and be mindful of Allah, fearing him rationally, for surely he is aware of everything that you do. Dear brothers and sisters, we welcome you to tonight's edition of Ma'iyya ala al-Kulyal. I'm your host, Imam Abdulaziz. We're broadcasting live from America's number one Islamic broadcast station, AM 360. And as always, we want to begin by extending the greetings of peace, the greetings of paradise, the greetings of the angels. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As always, dear brothers and sisters, we want to start by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on the souls of those of us, those of our beloved family members and companions, friends and associates that we have come to know on the mission. So we want to ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of the twin servant, Imam Thomas Abdul Salam, and his family. We also ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Imam Khalifa Ramadan and his family, on behalf of Imam Vernon Fareed and his family, on behalf of Imam Ibrahim Pasha and his family. We ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Abdul Majid Kareem Hassan and his family, as well as upon Imam Agent Muhammad and his family. We ask you also to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Imam Muhammad Sadiq and his family, Imam Vernon Fareed and his family, Ibrahim Pasha and his family, Imam Ali Rashid and his family, Imam Abdul Baki Abdul Hamid and his family, Imam Brother David Kareem Hassan and his family. We also ask you to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Farouk Abdul Wali and his family, Imam, and Imam Rafiq Rasul and his family. We also ask you, dear brothers and sisters, to be generous in your supplication on behalf of Al-Hajjah Fajr Tyson, Al-Hajjah Rabina LeBron, Al-Hajjah Delilah Shaheed, Sister Doreen Muhammad, Sister Robin Muhammad, and all of those believers that we did not mention. We ask you to include them in your du'as. We ask you to include Imam Qasim Ahmed and his family. We ask you to include, along with those prayers, the prayer on behalf of Imam Dr. Wadifuddin Muhammad, and a prayer on behalf of this community, dear brothers and sisters. We ask Allah at this time to aid us to be of those who stand up to whatever he puts in front of us, and that's for all of us who are facing some trial, some tribulation, we're troubled by some things, to aid us, to give us what we need to be able to stand up to whatever you put in front of us. And to that, we say, I mean. So today, dear brothers and sisters, it's a brand new day for us. As you may know, we walked into the month of Muharram, 1445 on the lunar calendar. Officially, it's our new year as Muslims, and we should celebrate that with vigor, more than we celebrate the January 1st New Year, because we are bombarded with those type of celebrations, and most of those celebrations always lead to the haram. So why not have a vigor behind a celebration that leads to the halal? Muharram, dear brothers and sisters, and celebrate Muharram by fasting on the 10th day of Muharram. Many barakah for us seeking out the day of Ashura. And so it's important for us to at a bare minimum. I'm sorry about that. I had to pause for a second. I'm trying to get our dates straight here. Taking a look at this this calendar, making sure that we are on the same page. Okay, we're on the same page. Alhamdulillah. Right. Okay, yeah. Okay, dear brothers and sisters. So right now we are dealing primarily with the new year for us. Yeah. And so we're looking at the Islamic calendar, dear brothers and sisters, and we're seeing that the date for us for the 10th of Muharram is Friday. The day of Ashura is on a Friday this year, on Yom Jum'ah. And so fasting on that day is important for us. It's an important lesson, important exercise for us if we're able to do so. If not, then you want to spend that day doing something else according to the religion and its practice. And so be mindful of that, dear brothers and sisters, that even if you can't fast, to do something else as a means to worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be able to collect the barakats as well. And so we're going to talk a little bit about some of the virtues, but before we do that, we want to just talk to you about this commitment to the new season, if you will. And committing to the new season constructively, committing to do some constructive things. As a Muslim, Allah says to us, when something new comes about, when we enter into new territory, or we enter into a new place or a new job, or we've accomplished something, we've graduated, or whatever that may be, we always look toward what are we going to be able to do in order to improve upon what Allah has put in our possession. And so in the verse of the Quran, Allah says, وَالْتَنْدُ نَفْسُ مَا قَتَّ مَغْلِ قَدِ. And وَالْتَنْدُ نَفْسُ مَا قَتَّ مَغْلِ قَدِ is actually a question as to what are we sending forward, what we're leaving behind. And so when the new year comes for us, because this is talking about this self-censorship, this attitude of becoming inclined, if you will, to examining the efforts of the individual self. So it's a self approaching a spiritual, how would you say, it's a self-approaching spiritual journey that we commit to in life, so that we're always questioning whether we did the best we could, whether we did the right thing, whether it may have not been as good, and so on and so forth. So it's really a focus on our own deeds. That you're focused on your deeds so much that you don't have any time to focus on anybody else. So the concern is, what am I leaving behind? The concern is, what am I leaving behind, dear brothers and sisters? What am I sending forward? What are you sending forward by virtue of those deeds that you are performing? Sending something forward is this idea behind you doing deeds right now that will generate some barakah for you later. And then what you leave behind, that your footprint that you leave behind is a benefit to those who follow in that path, for those who are in need, for those who are left behind. They're able to benefit from the work that you did. You send forth so much that you left some stuff behind that people can continue to benefit from. And in the meanwhile, in your living days, you're concerned about your own actions. You're concerned about, how did I treat that person correct? Was I fair? Was I honest? Was I upright? Did I cower? Did I do more? Could I have done more? This is the attitude, dear brothers and sisters. So when you look at the new year on the Islamic calendar, it's not necessarily a time to be celebrating. It's a time for us to assess what we did, what worked for us last year and what didn't. What did we set out to accomplish last year? Did we do it all, or we left some things out? And if we left some things out, then we need to put those on the list for this year. And if we accomplished them all, alhamdulillah, now we're looking for some other things to accomplish. But what worked and what didn't? And that's the question for 1445. May Allah help us to that we say, Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
We're back, and you're listening to my E.I.L. al-Kuli Al. I'm your host, Imam Abdulaziz. We're broadcasting live from America's number one Islamic broadcast station, AM360. And before we bring in some callers, we just want to look at some of the events that occurred on the day of Ashura in history, in our Islamic history. The day of Ashura, or the day of 10th day of Muharram, is known as the day of Ashura, as we mentioned. On this particular day, there have been many significant occurrences that have transpired, according to Faqih Abu Layth al-Samarqandi, rahimahullah. And some of these events on this day are known as the follows. The creation of the lands in the skies on the day of Ashura. The acceptance of Adam alayhi salam's Tawbah, repentance, on the day of Ashura. The freedom of Musa alayhi salam from Fir'aun on the day of Ashura. The birth of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his freedom from the fire all took place on the day of Ashura. Ayub alayhi salam recovers from his ailment on the day of Ashura. Yunus alayhi salam is freedom from the stomach of the whale on the day of Ashura. Suleiman alayhi salam is given his kingdom on the day of Ashura. Noah alayhi salam lands on the Mount Jibdi. And the Shahada Maridan on the day of Ashura took place of Hadrath Hussein radiallahu anhu. And it has been stated in the hadith of Sharif that the day of Qiyamah will also come on the day of Ashura. Now, I question that particular tradition, but this is you know, because we know that according to Islamic belief, we don't know when or which Yom al-Jum'ah, but it will take place on Yom al-Jum'ah. Now, just like this year, the day of Ashura will fall on Yom al-Jum'ah this year, inshallah. And so it's possible that Qiyamah will take place, okay, because on the day of Ashura, because it's possible that it could possibly be on Yom al-Jum'ah and the day of Ashura at the same time. We pray a lot that it's not this Friday coming up, but Allah is the best of planners. Again, dear brothers and sisters, be mindful These days, because these days are days in which we have to be very observant of. If we're putting more steam behind the 4th of July, behind New Year's and Thanksgiving and all these other holidays, and we're really doing nothing on our Eid days, nothing on Yom Jumu'ah, we need to sit back and relook what our religion is about. And that's what I'm going to say on that. And we're going to bring in a caller. I think it's 718-806. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. 718-806. State your name, where you're calling from. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum assalam, Imam Aziz. I didn't press one, but pray Allah you continue to have a wonderful show.
Well, thank you so much, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And so, looking at the Day of Ashura being a very, 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 very prestigious day in the history of Islam, very significant day. We want to spend that particular day, and we're having the barakah this year of seeing it on Yom Jumu'ah, inshallah. And so we want to be able to do as much as we can as a means to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to glorify Him, to make good on our commitment to Him, and to renew our intentions, to renew our goals, to renew, you know, our habits, to renew them, and to turn them into things that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to plan and set some goals that would allow us to overcome the trial and tribulation of the dunya. May Allah help us to that we say, Amen. And so I want you to press one on your phone, dear brothers and sisters, and tell me, you know, how was your last year and what's your aim for this year? You don't have to tell me exactly what you're going to do, but whether you have plans to do things and you making dua that Allah blesses you to make those things come into fruition, inshallah ta'ala. And so it's important that we understand that, dear brothers and sisters. And so when we come back, we'd like for us to take some time out to talk a little bit about 1445. May Allah help us for that, we say, Ameen.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined, with Fitler as its base. We examine the root seed to multiple effects that impact our holistic daily lives. So tune in each and every Thursday morning from 7 to 8 Eastern Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. Thank you and have a pleasant day.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We're back, and we're talking a little bit about the Islamic New Year. The Islamic New Year and what it means to us and the assessments that we make in our lives, and how this is a time for us to reevaluate where we're going, to reevaluate where we came from,
to reevaluate, reevaluate what has passed us by, and to do a somewhat of a self-censorship of our, a progress report on ourselves, a self-audit, if you will. The new year brings in new beginnings and so on and so forth, and you're grateful to Allah to have even woken up today. But to be in a new year altogether, dear brothers and sisters, it brings about the question as to where we're trying to go, whether we have what it takes to get there, or whether we're using the formula that Allah has given us in the Quran and in the example of His Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so on. So what are we looking forward to? Are we enthusiastic about the future? Are we just looking at it as a regular day? And that we don't have nothing on the horizon. We're satisfied with the condition that we're in, and we're cool with that. Press one on your phone, man. Let me know how you feel, dear brothers and sisters. May Allah help us to that we say. I mean, press one on your phone.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We're back, and you're listening to Ma'iyya ala al-Kulihal. Again, I'm your host, Imam Abdul Aziz, and we're broadcasting live from America's number one Islamic broadcast station, AM 360. And as we were talking earlier about this idea or the concept of a new year, Islamically, we do a self-assessment at the start of the Hijra year, the new Hijra year, and we do so by reflecting on what has happened for us in the past as a means to going forward. And we look at those accomplishments. Did we accomplish what we set out to accomplish earlier in the year? And did we do that? And if we did not, what did we do? So we're making an assessment on ourselves. What did we do, dear brothers and sisters? And so after, and if we did everything, now what's our goals this year? What are we going to do? What is our aim? You see, those are the questions, dear brothers and sisters. Those are the questions. And so when we're looking at the Islamic calendar, we're looking at what's happening in the world today. We have to look at today and look at what's happening around us and know that we need a plan as a means to get to where we're trying to go. And so every year when we're blessed to see a new year, we're not taking it for granted. We're not taking it lightly. And so for those of us who are on the lines, please press one on your phone and tell us how you're feeling about the Islamic New Year, what your plans are, what your goals are. We'd like to hear from you, dear brothers and sisters. May Allah help us. To that we say, Amen.
This is Isaiah Abdushakur, now with the Islam's beliefs universal. Allah is the creator with no partners. Muslims have 99 popular attributes for Allah. What is Al-Islam? Al-Islam is the complete way of life that reflects submission to the will of God. Islam means submission, derived from the Arabic word meaning peace. Who is a Muslim? A Muslim is anyone who submits to the will of God. Everyone is born Muslim, and their environment makes them otherwise. How does one become a conscious Muslim? To become Muslim is to make a public declaration that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. This is called the Shahadatain. Who is Muhammad? Muhammad, the prophet, was born in Mecca. the holiest city to Islam in Arabia in the year 570 or in the 6th century. How many Muslims are there? Worldwide, there are just over 1 billion Muslims, or 1 out of every 5 people on earth is a Muslim. In the United States, there are approximately 8 million Muslims. 2.5 million are recognized as indigenous, with the remainder by the way of immigration. Aren't all Muslims Arabs? No. Most Muslims live east of Karachi. 30% of Muslims live in the Indian subcontinent, 20% in sub-Sahara Africa, 17% in Southeast Asia, 18% in the Arab world, 10% in the states of the former Soviet Union or Russia. There is a significant Muslim population in China, Latin America, and Australia. Aren't all Arabs Muslim? No.
We're back, dear brothers and sisters, and you're listening to Ma'iyya ala al-Kuli Hal. I'm your host, Imam Abdul Aziz, and we're broadcasting live from America's number one Islamic broadcast station, AM360. And as we mentioned earlier, dear brothers and sisters, we're asking you to be mindful of the fact that this is the new Islamic year, Muharram 1445, and that if you have not already made an assessment of yourself from last year, you have time to do so with the aim of how you intend on going forward. What are the things that you accomplished last year? What did you set out to accomplish last year? Did you do it? And if not, you want to put that on your list. What worked last year and what did not work? If all of you that know that if you're trying to get to where you're going, you look at the things that worked and do as much as you can, and you avoid the things that didn't work. And you stay away from that as much as you can. And so for those of us who are joining us, be mindful. We're running out of time on the clock, so we want you to press one on your phone and share your comments. What are you looking for in 1445? What's your aim? What are you trying to do? What would you like to see in 1445? May Allah help us, dear brothers and sisters. To that we say ameen. Press one on your phone, and we'll bring you in for your comment, question, or if you just want to shout us out. We appreciate that. We appreciate all of you listening to us. You are, in fact, without question, a benefit to all of us, because without you, there would be no AM 360. May Allah help us. To that we say ameen. So we're going to bring in 706, state your name and where you're calling from. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, my salam is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah, Prophet Muhammad, by the way, of Columbus, Georgia. Just one good question you have to ask. Now, you know, I want to see all the Muslims in the United States of America and around the world, but especially those here in the United States of America, especially those in the community of Imam War King Muhammad, to pool our resources and establish the shura that we were supposed to have this month. The month's not over yet, so Allah is Akbar. We don't know what's going on, but we have got up to call to prayer and call everybody to shura, and you know, and see what Allah has blessed us all with since we lost our leadership in many, many ways, and what can we do to go establish in this halal reality that we're supposed to be doing. That could be everybody's dua, because we established that model of community here in the United States of America, if Allah is willing for us to do so, and it does seem like at least his mercy, his guidance, and his permission is upon the ex-slave of America in the community of Imam Wardeen Muhammad to go ahead on and go into our pockets and establish a shura and 360, mosque care, CPC, six sectional imams, second, everybody in our community, past, present, and future, call them to come together and establish a legal community of believers, you know, who are willing to pick up the covenant to establish a halal reality in our share of the duty here in the United States of America. That's what we all should want, and I pray every day, and whatever I have to do to make that happen, I pray Allah He continue to help me to be a repeated voice in this, that, hey, we got a job to do. Let's stick to that and not history. Let's make history. I just want to say that. Amen.
Amen. That's wonderful. Those are wonderful words. You know, the halal reality for us, you know, dear brother, is something that's a long time coming. You know, we're behind. We should have had this a long time ago. So it's always a good way to pull ourselves out of this rut that we're in this society, because that's where we're supposed to return to that. That's actually our birthright, dear brothers and sisters, for those of us who do not know, that we didn't start out the way they claim. Our history is not just slavery. Our history is that we've had halal before. We've had control over our resources before we got here. And we've had, you know, kingships and land and all of this other kind of stuff, a strong legacy. And for those 400 years in which we had suffered, society has beat us up so bad, but you don't even think that we're coming from a history like that. And many of us that came here were Muslims. But they have you think that your religious and your halal reality is something else. And that's neither here nor there, dear brothers and sisters. Where we are today and where we're supposed to be going, it stands out even louder than from whence we came. Because we got it now. And what time is better than now? The time is now. This is our time. And all we got to do is come together, and we'll be able to reap the benefits. Come on, dear brothers and sisters. And so I appreciate the comments of our dear brother. But he's talking facts, man, to say this is what I'd like to see. Now, how many of us want to see that? Because you got some people that don't want to see that. And then, but they want to tell you they're with us. No, you're not with us, Aki. You're not with us, brother. You don't accept our leadership. You don't accept us. You don't want to see us. You don't want to see us in our most excellent form, right? The halal reality for us is to return to excellence, man. To return to that excellence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended for us. That's the goal in that. And to ultimately gain Jannah. May Allah help us. To that we say ameen. Thank you so much, my brother. And so we got another caller. 321, state your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum, the Lacey Umar, Melbourne, Florida, enjoying the program and thanking you for inviting us to chime in on what we would like to see in Arab 1445 this new year. And alhamdulillah, I did some reflections and some commitments to do more da'wah. To share the religion more with the neighbors, with the city, the town that I'm in. And, you know, I was reflecting on our Imam Waqidi Muhammad and Prophet Rahim Allah Lay, where he asked us to, because of our past traumatic experiences, to dwell on a philosophy for life in a sacred unity. And he said that that would be instrumental for us. And he gave an example of the Haitians and the Cubans who have come to South Florida. By the way, I'm in Florida, Melbourne, Florida. But how they have came to this country and united together and are making a contribution to the overall picture of America. He challenged us to work on this sacred unity. So I'm going to be doing a lot of work on that, encouraging us to work together to make progress, as you just mentioned and Brother Pomit just mentioned. And also with the community, the entire community, because, you know, the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, he was missioned to spread this message, and he did it and went on, returned to Allah. And now it's the obligation on us, his followers, to do that same thing, to spread this message of Islam. So I'm making that kind of commitment this year to working a little harder, a little more organized to do that. So that was just to share the message, not expecting any result, but just to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Well, you're forever welcome, my brother, and those are priceless comments. We appreciate those statements because, again, you and the brother before you, you state some valid points, and the validity of those points that you both made can never be overstated. Why? Because the religion of Islam is an active religion. Muslim is an action word. The term Muslim is an active participle. The active participle, the root is salama, to bring peace. But the active participle, it implies the act of submitting and rendering peace in all your efforts. You see, that's your life. That's who you are. When they talk about peace, they think about you. And that's the attitude of the Muslim. When we were taught Islam, we were taught that, you know, when you choose a name, that you didn't choose a name just to be having a name. Imam Muhammad taught that we don't want to become Muslims just by name. That we're known for some things, man. We there's some stuff that we're known for, you understand? And some acts, some things that we do. And the implication is what we do. In the Quran, Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladina amanu. Amanu is a past tense verb. It's not a noun. He didn't say, Ya ayyuha al-mu'minun. He says, Ya ayyuha alladina amanu. Those who do iman. Those who are acting within their faith. All ye who believe. All ye who have proven your faith by your past actions. Who are known for their actions. In other words, Allah doesn't call you by the noun of who you say you are. He's calling you by what you do. And so, with following the logic through its logical conclusion, we see that this has to be the footprint, the blueprint, if you will, for how we follow the commentary of Imam Muhammad, who was the first one to introduce us to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. And what was the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad? He said, he whose inclination is not in accordance to what I have brought will have it rejected. In other words, we have to walk this thing. We have to be noticed. We have to be present. We can't be somewhere, anywhere for a period of time and not make a difference. May Allah help us to that we say, I mean. Thank you so much, my brother.
I mean, you're crying.
And so, dear brothers and sisters, you're listening to my Ear Al-Kuli Hal. I'm your host, Imam Abdul Aziz. And I really, really appreciate the comments. Because the comments themselves, they act as a motivation. It opens the door to another conversation. We broaden it, we expand upon it, and we're able to appreciate one another. So all of our brothers and sisters who are on the line, who call in, we want to tell you how much we appreciate you and that AM360 is continuously working to improve the programming, the listenership, to give you what you need and to make sure that your voice is heard, to make sure that you're included in the conversation, and that it's just not just a monologue, it's a dialogue, and that whatever it is that you're feeling, we want to let you know that we're right here with you. May Allah help us, dear brothers and sisters, and to that we say Ameen. So we're coming down to about 7 minutes, and so we're going to go for another commercial break, and then when we come back, if anybody wants to press one on their phone with some final comments, feel free. Assalamu alaikum.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you and all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
Alhamdulillah, hello, Bilalameen. We're back, dear brothers and sisters. You're listening to my Ear Ala Kuli Hal. I'm your host, Imam Abdul Aziz. We're broadcasting live. And we are coming to a close this evening. We got about 5 minutes. If anyone wants to leave a comment or ask a question, please feel free to press one on your phone, and we'll bring you right into the queue. Let me see here. 706, you're calling back in.
Yeah, can I make up? Just want to say, in the spirit of Dawah, I am now going on my third Ramadan, and I asked Allah during Ramadan 3 years ago, that I don't need to be tested by the Shaitan anymore. I am more than convinced that you are God. And I know you have been patient with the Shaitan and have given him all the justice that he has. And we don't need him no more. So Allah, my dua to you is to please remove the Shaitan out of our reality and let us do what you have asked us to do, to be Khalifa and start to repair this earth and the souls and the future of all human beings and all the creation. And I can tell there's been a good change in my faith in Allah, and I have more peace because I'm not distracted anymore by the whispers of the shaitan, by Allah's mercy. And I just wanted to say that the first year I've done it, I encourage everyone on 360 and other programs to that we should establish a united prayer by next Ramadan, the month when Allah answers all du'as. Everything in creation comes down to listen to our du'as. But why come we don't ask to get rid of Shaitan, knowing that Allah guarantees us that he answers all du'as? Why don't the human being ask to get rid of the Shaitan? I can't think of no better du'a. Just wanted to say that. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is wonderful feedback. And so we're grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for also those comments. And the power of dua is beyond what we can imagine. The power of dua. And so a lot of times over we forget that Allah says in the Quran, when my servant asks you concerning me, tell them that I am near. I respond to the call of every suppliant when he calls upon me, but let them at the same time respond to my call and believe in me so that they may walk in the right way. Surah 2:186. And we look at that verse of the Quran, and we look at the power of dua, and we have no other recourse, dear brothers and sisters, but to use du'a as a tool and come up with du'as like such du'a the brother mentioned, to get rid of the shaitan, to get rid of the shaitan. And the idea, dear brothers and sisters, is to minimize the shaitan in my life, to minimize the shaitan in our community. And that's possible, dear brothers and sisters. The shaitan is not, he's just the creation of Allah. He is not someone who is Allah's opponent. He's not equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor is he opposite. He is just a creation. So we're small, dear brothers and sisters. Like the Quran says to us, that the aim of shaitan is weak. And so, because he's weak, then why are we falling victim to him? We should be eliminating him by virtue of the things that we do, the things we pay for, our intentions, all of our efforts, dear brothers and sisters.
90 seconds.
Should be in an effort to minimize him. And so I always call it after Ramadan that it's your job, dear brothers and sisters, no matter where you are, to keep shaitan on a diet. May Allah help us. To that we say ameen. We want to thank all of you for listening to us this evening from wherever you are around the country. And we ask you to tune back in next week. And we will continue our discussion, inshallah ta'ala. Until then, may Allah continue to bless you, your families, bless all of us. Help us remember him and show gratitude to him and worship him in the best way. Bismillah, to that we say ameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة العيون واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم صل على محمد والمرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلى الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Peace be with you and welcome to Positive Solutions to Critical Issues, hosted by yours truly, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Instructor Henry Hasid. This program is sociologically as well as psychologically inclined with fit